the scripture lessons I want us to hear for this evening. The first is taken from Psalm 138. We've already read a portion of it for our call to worship, but we will read it again, Psalm 138, verses 1 through 8. And it is on page 565 of your Pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Our second reading I'd like us to hear this evening is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. And we will be reading from verses 25 through verse 33. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Used to be not too long ago that a common practice was to send thank you notes to people who did something good for you, people who did you a good turn. You would take the time to write out a note and send it to them, so showing your appreciation for the good turn that they did for you. Unfortunately, the thank you note is rapidly going the way of the typewriter. Thank you, too, is something that is becoming more and more rare. Many people don't even take the time to thank others for the good deeds and turns that is done for them. But that is what the psalmist is doing in our psalm that we read for this evening. He is writing God a thank you note. Psalm 138 is called a psalm of thanksgiving. And it is one of many psalms of thanksgiving that is found throughout the Psalms, and indeed is found throughout the Bible. And the psalms of thanksgiving all have a sort of a familiar structure. They begin with the psalmist defining some distress that he is undergoing. And sometimes we're not necessarily told what that distress is. It may be some kind of physical illness. It may be some kind of economic distress. It may be that he feels surrounded by his enemies, but he goes through a measure of distress, just like many of us sometimes experience distress. But it's in the midst of that distress that the psalmist cries out to God, and God hears, and God delivers. And in response to deliverance, the psalmist praises and gives thanks to God. And the psalmist thanks God not just for deliverance, but he also praises God and gives thanks to God because of who God is. He gives thanks to God and praises God for God's character, in particular, God's faithfulness and God's steadfast love. The Bible reminds us again and again that God is faithful. God does what God says God will do. God makes promises, and God keeps God's promises. And God is also filled with steadfast love. God loves those who God calls and who are God's people. God is filled with steadfast love. And so the psalmist gives thanks for that. He gives thanks for God's faithfulness. He gives thanks to God's steadfast love. And indeed, it is because of God's faithfulness and God's steadfast love that God has remembered the psalmist and has delivered him. God is like a good, faithful, loving friend. We all perhaps have had the experience of having someone who is faithful, a good friend, a loving friend, someone we can count on during difficult times, someone who stands by us, someone who will not turn their back on us, someone that we know is steady and strong. And indeed, that is how the psalmist understands God, as faithful and true and trustworthy. And so he gives thanks for God. Thanks for God's trustworthiness, and thanks for God delivering him. God is indeed faithful, and God is indeed trustworthy. And that's why Jesus tells us in our passage of scripture from Matthew that we should not worry about anything. Jesus tells us, do not worry about your lives. Do not worry about what you're going to eat. Do not worry about where you're going to sleep. Do not worry about what you're going to wear. Do not worry about any of those things, because God knows that you need them. And God is faithful, and God is true, and God will give us what we need. He may not always give us what we want, but God will give us what we need. And therefore, the appropriate response before God, the appropriate posture before God, is not a posture of worry and anxiety, but the appropriate posture before God is a posture of gratitude and thanksgiving. That's easier, of course, said than done. A life of gratitude is something that has to be cultivated, like all character traits. It's not anything that comes all at once, but we have to constantly practice being grateful and being thankful to God. And it's one of the things that I would encourage that we do, not just once a year on Thanksgiving, but every day. Praise God and thank God and be grateful to God for what God has done for us. Not just the big things that God has done for us, or the major things that God has done for us, but the little things that God does for us, the things that we often take for granted. So I'll begin with that each day, thanking God for the sun that shines on us, and the rain, and the grass of the fields, and the breath that we take, and the changing of the seasons and all of those things that we take for granted, all the riches of God's grace that we often take for granted. Someone once said that we sanctify what we are grateful for. And I'm not quite sure I understand what they meant by that. But I suspect that it has something to do with the fact that the more we give God thanks for something, the more important those things become in our lives. And indeed, the richer our lives become. And then the more grateful we are just for being alive. The more we are grateful for the things that we often take for granted, the more those things become important for us. The more we are readily cognizant of the grace that we have been blessed with, the grace that God bestows upon each and every one of us. And the better off we'll be, the better able we'll be and able to, in order to withstand what our consumerist culture often tells us is important. That is, that we are somebody because of what we're able to buy and consume. And it's because of those messages that we often hear that our lives are often filled with anxiety and worry. We are anxious about not being able to keep up with others, and anxious and worried about not being able to purchase the things that we think will bring us the good life. But if we are grateful, if we give thanks to God just for the little things, for the things that we often take for granted, then our lives become richer and we can better appreciate the grace and the blessings that God bestows upon each and every one of us. And so I would encourage you to cultivate a spirit of gratitude. Begin daily by giving God thanks. You know, it's hard to be worried and to be anxious about our lives when we spend time giving thanks to God. We can spend our lives worrying about the things that we don't have, or worrying about the things that we have and might lose, or we can spend our time giving God thanks. Giving God thanks for all the things that God has blessed us with, and thanks for the things that oftentimes many people in our society take for granted. So we are called to cultivate a life of thanksgiving and to cultivate a life of gratitude. But cultivating a spirit of gratitude is not just an internal feeling. Cultivating a spirit of attitude is much, much more in the Old Testament. And indeed, in the psalm that we read and in much of the Old Testament, giving thanks to God means to know and to make known. That's what the word giving thanks means, to know and to make known. And that is what the psalmist does in Psalm 138. He wants to make known what God has done for him. He wants to make known how God has delivered him. And he wants to make known God's faithfulness and God's steadfast love to all that will listen. He wants to make it known to the kings of the world, and he wants to make it known indeed to the whole world and to the whole cosmos what God has done for him and God's faithfulness and God's steadfast love. And that's what I think we're all called to do, that is to make known what God has done for us and how God has delivered us. And not only that, but to make known God's steadfast love and God's faithfulness. We'll have the opportunity to do that tonight. I know many of you have a great deal that you can make known, that you can give God thanks for. A lot that has happened in your life throughout the course of this year. We can always give God thanks for something. If it's nothing more but making it another year and having another year of life, another opportunity to be around our friends and our family, give God thanks for this household of faith, this congregation, being able to come to a place like this and to fellowship with all of you, the saints, and to be able to share with people in this community. We give God thanks for As we indicated in our prayer, the nation that we live in, there are many places around the world that don't have what we take for granted. Places where you can't go out and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ or even share anything about your faith. Places where you can't express your views. And yet, we had that opportunity here in this country, one that we often take for granted. So we all have things to give God thanks for. We all have something that we ought to be grateful for and that we often take for granted. So we want to take a moment this evening as we stand on the cups on the eve of this National Day of Celebration and Thanksgiving to remember the things that God has blessed us with throughout the course of a year, to remember how God has blessed us, to remember how God continues to bless us today, and how God will bless us in the future as we continue to be the faithful servants that He has called to bear witness to who He is, to give thanks for who He is in the midst of our own community. So right now, I will ask you to take this opportunity, those of you who feel compelled to share, to express your thanks for what God has done for you.